Hello, listeners, and welcome to Between the Leaves. I'm Hermina Burns, poet and educator, and I'm here with writer and editor Ellen van Nieuwen.
In each episode of Between the Leaves, we will read a range of poems written by women and the gender diverse, including original works by Hermina and me.
Each poem connects to a central theme. Today's theme is race.
Before we begin, we would like to acknowledge First Nations elders past, present and emerging as the traditional owners of the country we are speaking on and the first poets of this land. The first poem you'll hear today is Hanover Street, Brunswick 3056 by Lisa Blair. Cruisin' on my way with a keen sense of purpose, milk, full cream, toasting bread, cigarettes, papers, a woman's day. Sensor rays connect with a 30-centimetre white child who sits joyously on a three-wheeled plastic bike. I feel safe enough to share my smile as we check each other over with carefree, knowing smiles. His parents raise their heads through the pruned rose bush. In 20 years' time, will he remember this warrior woman? I wonder.
You can feel both pain and hope in that poem. What does Lisa's work mean to you, Ellen?
Lisa is someone who I discovered her work after she passed away, but it was really influential on me and how I began to develop my own voice. You know, Lisa was someone who was a beautiful poet, activist, photographer, presenter and scholar from Mindirabar, Stradbroke Island. She was a Gunupul and Noonuccal woman. So Lisa being from Southeast Queensland, myself being from Southeast Queensland, and Lisa being proudly black and queer, I was like, this is the kind of writing that I want to do. And living in Melbourne for 2 years, I got to know a lot of people that were close to Lisa, some of her family members and friends. And I'm really pleased to know that Warrior Woman Lane was named in her honour in a laneway in Melbourne. The next poem is by me, Ellen van Nieuwen. It's called Chips. Can I say, white people really bore me sometimes? To be exact, I grow tired with what's unmentioned. Idling in surf club bathrooms. Nothing wrong with the chips. But they're talking about Tasmania, my thoughts haunted by islands. Maybe I'm dying. I've had too many chips. Teeth like stones take me to be flossed and cleaned. I need new soles sticking to the floor. What is happening with the dialogue of this country? They are killing people with words. If I'm not back soon, tell them I've had too many chips.
What were you thinking about when you wrote the poem?
I think at the time I was thinking about a lot of different things. I actually wrote this in the scene, so I was actually in the bathroom writing this. It's thinking about the sort of offhand comments that you hear about First Nations people in Australia or other people of colour, refugees, and how it's sort of the same language that is being used to demonise these people. So, you know, that's why I have the line, they're killing people with words. So it was me feeling very frustrated with the ignorance that I was hearing and really kind of crying out, like, why aren't people as angry and frustrated as I am about these issues? Why do I always have to fight for what I think is right and just?
And I certainly felt when I first read it the way the poem's crying out, but it also feels like such a challenge.
Yeah, I think it's a poem that sort of gets stronger as you go. Like, it's almost at the start, it's kind of a bit like me testing the waters and then feeling more confident to say how I'm really feeling, because I've been in so many conversations where you sort of bite your tongue and feel like you can't say what you want to say.
Our next poem is by me, Hermina Burns. It's called Sister Love. I always wanted a sister as a team against three brothers and a father, female being the minority. And when the Harold Blair scheme flew you in at 12 from Cherbourg Mission Station for a holiday, you returned to live almost a decade with our white family. I got more than I bargained for, not understanding back then. You being black as well as a girl changed everything, foster sister, my sister. When we grew old together, you exclaimed, "At last you're listening."
Beautiful. Can I ask how this poem came about?
Well, it's written in response to my thoughts about my foster sister, who died in 2015, who came, as I say in the poem, in the Harold Blair holiday scheme, and then lived with us for nearly a decade. And I think when I was quite young, I thought the fight, the big fight, the one fight, was feminism. But living with Inez and seeing casual racism and pointed racism and not even understanding the way the Harold Blair scheme was about assimilation, not about assertion of independence and living equally. It took me a long time living alongside Inez for us to come to the point where we were really listening, where I was really listening to her.
What was the Howard Blair scheme, Hermina?
Harold Blair was a tenor, an Aboriginal tenor. He was supported by a wealthy Melbourne woman to go to the Juilliard School in the United States. And because he had worked under the act which circumscribed Aboriginals' lives, and he had to apply for exemption to work and go anywhere, when he got to the United States, he saw African Americans working in banks, teaching in schools, getting their wages in full, and he was simply astonished. So he came back to Australia and was determined to try and change the conditions for Aboriginal children. And he'd come from Cherbourg, so one of the things he did was to set up the Harold Blair holiday scheme, which involved bringing Aboriginal children down for the school holidays and then they returned to their parents. But there was also pressure on the parents from Cherbourg Mission Station administrators to write to families like ours who'd had an Aboriginal child for a holiday and ask them if they would foster them. The Harold Blair scheme was shut down after half a dozen years or so, because the parents at Cherbourg felt that their rights weren't being listened to sufficiently. And so when the Ronald Henderson report came out about the stolen generation, I realised I'd never thought about my foster sister as a stolen generation person, because she was able to write to her mother, go home to her mother during the school holidays. When I asked her, "Do you consider yourself part of the stolen generation?" she said, "Yes, yes." And then she said, "No." And then she said, "Yes."
Yeah, wow. And for you not only to listen but to ask those questions would have been a really important moment in your relationship with your foster sister.
It was a really important moment. And I think the shift to listening is what we all need to do, so that we're actually really hearing each other's lives. And I think poetry can carry some of that discussion.
Use your binungs, as my grandmother used to say, and your ears. The next poem you'll hear is Gotcha, by Auntie Karaka Carey Reed Gilbert. I knew he was mine, frothing at the mouth, literally speaking. I was waiting for him, my body ready to strike. Like a leopard on the verge of attack, I waited, biding my time. I held my breath, my muscles taut, prepared to pounce, to strike, to maim. I knew the moment was at hand. The spirits played around him. I watched him fight for courage to utter the words for me to slash at his heart, my claws willing to impale him with a death blow. Abos? Why say sorry to the Abos? We had to teach them how to use the knife and fork. They would have been lost without us. Abos, why say sorry to the Abos? I got him. He never knew what hit him. He would never utter those words again.
I think that section, Abos, why say sorry to the Abos, she catches the contempt that can be felt by people who are seeing them as other, and the ignorance in it too. It's so striking. What do we know about the author, Ellen?
Auntie Karaka Carey Reed Gilbert was a really fierce leader as a Wiradjuri elder, poet and activist, and author of several books. She was based in Canberra, and she passed away in 2019, and shortly before her death she took on the name Karaka, which means sulphur-crested white cockatoo, which was her totem. And so her loss is so recent that I often see her in her cockatoo form in my backyard, and I kind of think, you know, Auntie Carey, we remember you. We remember how fierce and powerful your words were and you as a person.
What do you think's the most important lines or image in the poem for you, Ellen?
I just love the image of this black woman who's got this kind of boxer stance, kind of like Muhammad Ali, kind of like ready to just being so powerful in her body and being able to, as much as I'm anti-violence, you know, being able to hold her own against a white man. I think it's really, really powerful.
Our final poem is by Eunice Andrada. It's called Because I Am a Daughter of Diaspora. Ellen, this is a poem you selected. Can you tell me what it is about the poem that particularly speaks to you?
I think Eunice in this poem writes about the experience of being a migrant and having that old country and the new country and not feeling like you belong in either. I think she writes that so beautifully. She's Filipina, and I've been to the Philippines a couple of years ago, and I know that there's such a big diasporic population, and it's a country that's like a lot of the world, threatened by rising sea levels. And Eunice also writes about climate change, refugees, and that threat of water is always present in her work, and the idea that whole societies can be wiped out by these rising seas.
Because I am a daughter of diaspora. And by default, an open sea. What language will not meet me with rust? They convince my mother her voice is a selfish tide, claiming words that are not meant for her. This rolling carcass of ocean, making rag dolls of our foreign limbs. In the end, nothing less than our brown skin married to seabed. When I return to the storm of my islands with a belly full of first world, I wrangle together the language I grew up with yet still have to rehearse. I play with the familiar rattle of consonants on my tongue and do not think myself a serpent. I am lost in the strangeness of my hometown. By the street corner, a man speaks to me in careful English. Where are you going? I don't answer, offended that he recognised the mongrel flag of my face. I want to say to him, we are the same, Poreo lang poteo. I know my bleached accent, the dollars in my wallet, sing another anthem. My voice is an open casket funeral, haunted by the questions, how long have you been here? How long are you staying? I am above water, holding on to a country that can drown with or without me. What they don't tell you about returning home is that home will have already forgotten your eyes, hidden away the poems you wrote for it. All of diaspora has felt it in the backs of their throats. The joke of being unwanted in a new country, of being unneeded in your own homeland, where the warmest pulsing thing has already left. For more information about this podcast, visit betweentheleaves.com.au and follow at Between the Leaves Pod on Instagram. You can also find out more about the Victorian Women's Trust via their website, vwt.org.au, or follow them on social media at Vic Women's Trust.
All of the poems you have heard today were handpicked by your hosts, Hermina Burns and me, Ellen Van Nieuwen.
Our co-producers are Mary Crooks, Maria Shakuti and Ali Oliver Perham. Between the Leaves was recorded at The Voice Plant in Brisbane, Squeaky Clean Studios in Melbourne and mixed by Nicholas Pollock.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.